12 times they've stepped on the field, and 12 times they've walked off losers. But today, the UBC Thunderbirds are hoping that all changes. Welcome to UBC Thunderbirds football on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm Richard Zussman, joined alongside Justin McElroy. And Justin, the University of Alberta Golden Bears come to town to face the T-Birds in this game at 1-1. And I think it's going to be an air show today at Thunderbird Stadium.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, Richard. The two stars of these teams are the quarterbacks. You've got Julian Marchand for Alberta. He's struggled a bit this year so far, but he's a fifth-year senior. He knows how to quarterback, and if Alberta is going to win a game today, it's going to be on his arm. Likewise for the Thunderbirds, Billy Green in his fourth year, starting to show that he can be a top-tier quarterback in not only the Canada West Conference, but in all of the CIS. He's been one of the stars in the CIS so far, and he'll need to continue that if the T-Birds have a chance to go over 500 today.
These teams played twice last year. The road team won each game. In those games, Julian Marchand combined to throw for 612 yards and three touchdowns. Billy Green, 586 yards for four touchdowns. I caught up with Billy earlier this week. Let's have a listen.
Joined now with Thunderbirds quarterback Billy Green. Billy, you have put up some giant numbers the first 2 weeks of the season, and leading the Canada West in passing yards, all-purpose yards. You've completed almost 64% of your passes. Talk about your success you've had the first 2 weeks of the season.
It's been a great start to the year. One thing that Coach and I talked about this season was completing a lot more passes. Last year, I think my completion percentage was probably 52. I think it was like that for my first 3 years, and kind of focused on that, better decision making, and because of that I've been able to get the receivers with the ball a little bit more. They've been making some really good catches, they've been making plays after the run or after the catch, and it's been real successful so far.
And you've done it in two very exciting games, a big win on the road against Regina, so close last week against Calgary. First, talk about that drive take the lead against Calgary last week to put your team in a position to pull off a huge upset on the road.
Yeah, it started off bad. We had two penalties, which were both my fault because I was trying to audible, and the snap count that I had us in wasn't right for that because they start running too early, and it was just mistake after mistake by me. And then I made a good throw on first and 20, second and 20 or something. And then third and four, they gave us the look again that I was supposed to audible, but Coach told me, don't audible out of it. And I was like, okay. So I had Jordan Grieve running a post, and I pre-snap. I was like, all right, Jordan has to get open, and I just have to hold the ball and not get sacked. And it worked out great through it. About as far as I could without him catching it. He caught it right in his fingertips, and it worked out well.
Tough then on the other side, Calgary, good offensive drive. Talk about the feeling of standing on the sideline and not really being able to do much to help that defense.
Yeah, it's tough in that situation, but as an offensive player, like, we went out and we needed to score. We had to support our defense because they had played all game. They played well. They only gave up 24 points going into that last drive, and if our defense gives up 24 points, we should be able to win the game with our offense. So it was one of those things that's a bad feeling not to be able to help your team a little bit more, but it is what it is. Calgary's a really good team, and hanging with them was a great sign for our team.
Lots of talk now about the Thunderbirds being a very good team, too. Appeared in the rankings last week, has slipped to 11th this week. Talk about the way that your team has developed now that we get back-to-back winnable home games.
Our team's developed a lot. Like, for the last 3 years since I've been here, we've kind of been in a lull. And with Coach Olson getting hired last year, he wanted to bring winning back to this program. And we have a lot of guys who are already here who had talent, and he's brought in a lot of guys in the last 2 years to help. And I think we're kind of starting to get back in the competitive, well, not mode, but guys are kind of believing a little bit more in themselves. And with these two home games, both teams are very talented. Like, they have players who make plays, but I think if we execute the way we should, we should be able to win.
One thing I know Coach Olson probably wants to is his first win on home field. 0-4 last year during the regular season, a loss at the Shrum Bowl against Simon Fraser, and now U of A comes here to open the home part of the schedule. Tell me about them, and Do you think at all about picking up that first home W for the coach?
I hope so, and it would actually be my first home victory as a quarterback, too. We won my first year against Alberta at home, but I wasn't starting yet, and it would be great. They returned 12 guys on offense, starters. Last week they kind of, I don't know what happened. I didn't get to see the game, but they didn't play the best, I guess. But their defense also, they have some playmakers, and I think that our playmakers do match up against them. So it'd be great to get Coach Olson his first victory, and I would like to get my first victory at home too.
And it's going to be an opportunity for the fans to listen to you guys on the radio on CITR for the first time, too. Talk about coming back to campus. And do you feel different around your friends when you know you'll be able to play in front of them with the weekend coming up?
Yeah, it's good. I have a lot of friends coming out to the game. My family's here, so they'll get to see me play, which is also good. They were in Regina, but now the home game's a little bit different. Friends around campus run into them, guys from other sports teams. I have a bunch of friends on the baseball team. They're like, hey, like, I'll be there Saturday. Like, good luck. Great about the first win. Sorry about the second game. Like, it's good support, which is nice.
All right. Thank you, Billy.
Rick, thank you very much.
That's Billy Green, the UBC Thunderbirds quarterback.
And now we're just 21 minutes away from getting this thing underway here at Thunderbird Stadium. And this Canada West has been a wacky conference in the past, but it looks, Justin, like it's about to get a little bit wackier. Manitoba, Saskatchewan playing right now. Saskatchewan has been the class of this conference along with the Dinos for a long time, and it looks like Manitoba's getting ready to pull off a big upset.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it started on the very first day of the season, Richard, with Mark Mueller of the Regina Rams, star quarterback, going down in the first quarter, and Regina has looked absolutely pitiful since, and that really has blown it wide open. First, it looked like Calgary would take the step, and while they're unbeaten so far this year, they've looked vulnerable against UBC. And now we have Manitoba going up to 2-1, but the point is that so far, we're almost halfway through the season, and really no one has stepped up. And it allows teams like UBC and Alberta to get to the playoffs and have a chance to really make something of this season.
At this point, you really control your own destiny as well. You win football games, and you have an opportunity to host playoff games. If you can get games in your own field, anything can happen. And the Vanier Cup is here in Vancouver this year. An opportunity for the fans here maybe to see their hometown boys playing over BC Place.
Yeah, no, and you don't want to think about that too early in the season. But, I mean, you're right in a sense that early on this year in preseason, I'm sure that Coach Olson and the players were just thinking, let's get to the playoffs for the first time since 2007. Now you start to think about, well, maybe there's something more there.
We're going to, throughout all the home games this year, we are going to bring you the Canada West Roundtable, an opportunity to chat with some of the best journalists from around the prairies and out here on the West Coast. This week, Jim Mullen joins us from CIS Countdown and the games on Shaw. Evan Dom from CISblog.ca joined us, and Ryan Layback from Husky Outsider joined us as well. So let's have a listen to see what these experts have to say about the Canada West.
The Canada West Roundtable. We're going to chat with some media personalities from across Western Canada, chat about what's going on in Canada West football. First question I'm going to pose is, who's the best team in Canada West? We're joined this week, Evan Dom, Ryan Layback, and Jim Mullen. Jim, who is the best team in Canada West?
Right now, Canada West is a wide open affair. There's no question about that, but judging by what we've witnessed through 2 weeks of ball, the slight edge, I think, goes to the Saskatchewan Huskies. But, you know, keep in mind who they played. They thrashed the Alberta Golden Bears, and the Bears are definitely a team in transition right now. And they easily handled the Regina Rams without Mark Mueller and then eventually without Dylan Hart in the game. So we know that the game of Canadian football, at least in my mind, should be called Canadian quarterback because that position is so pivotal, pardon the pun, to the success of a team at this level. So I think this will be an interesting test for Saskatchewan this week as they take on Manitoba. You can't count out the Calgary Dinos. I think they're a very well-coached team. I think they've filled some holes they had, thanks to players moving on to the Canadian Football League, but they're definitely not as fast as they were last year on offense. And as for the UBC Thunderbirds, I said in the offseason. They were a team who's the dark horse, and it still would not surprise me to see UBC hosting a bowl game come November with a team from Quebec coming to town.
Ryan, you follow Saskatchewan. Are they the best team in the Canada West?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I do see the Huskies play in practice every day, but I think it's a bit too early to tell who the best team is. I think the Huskies might have a slight edge over the Calgary Dinos, but the Dinos have been an impressive team. You know, if we look back to the start of the season, you might have put the Rounds in the mix there, but right now, to me, it's between Calgary and the Huskies, and of course, both those teams play each other next weekend, so we'd probably be able to answer that question a little bit more after week four.
Evan, I want to know from you who's the best, but I also want to know who you think the worst team in Canada West is right now, too.
Well, the best team right now is, by far, in my opinion, the Saskatchewan Huskies. I mean, they've scored the most points through 2 weeks, and they've given up the fewest points as well. So, you know, through that short span of time, they've been the best team far and away, but, you know, time will tell, and that's a good point. We'll see next weekend between Saskatchewan and Calgary who's the best team, you know, early on in this Canada West season, but the Huskies right now are for sure the best team, and the worst team right now is the Alberta Golden Bears. I mean, offensively, they've been horrendous. They haven't put points on the board. They certainly have to work on that. And they didn't score their first, you know, offensive touchdown until the fourth quarter of their second game, so that speaks volumes to the struggles they've had with Julian Marchand at quarterback. The rest of the offense just not clicking at all. And so, yeah, right now it's the team that I get to see all the time. It's the Golden Bears, but the worst team in the conference.
All right, Jim, what are you looking at around Canada West this weekend as the big headlines?
Well, we'll see if Manitoba is as competitive as they've shown us through the first 2 weeks. We'll see if UBC can bounce back from that collapse against the Calgary Dinos. I can't remember in recent history in the Canada West the last time it happened where a team put together a scoring drive in the last 2 minutes to win a game with seven straight running plays. Obviously, I think if UBC can find a way to remedy their poor rush defense, I think that's actually a big story because it'll show that they have the ability to adjust, adapt, and be competitive. And another story, I think, also is for the Regina Rams. When will these fourth- and fifth-year guys that are throughout their lineup finally step up and play up to their potential? I don't think they're particularly well-coached on defense, to tell you the truth. They should be getting much more out of some of the bodies they have there. So those are a couple of storylines from where I sit.
Ryan, what do you think? The big story coming out of Saskatchewan this weekend is the chance for the head coach to break the record for most wins. What do you think that's a big headline, and what else do you think may be included in those big headlines this week?
Yeah, definitely. Head coach Brian Tarras is tied with Larry Hayter, who coached the Western Ontario Mustangs for a number of years, for the most wins in CIS history, and Coach Tarras has a chance to beat that record in Manitoba against in Winnipeg against Manitoba this weekend. So I think that is a big story. But, you know, if you talk to BT, he'll just say, well, I've just been around here a long time, so maybe it's not as big of a story as we think. But, you know, I'm really interested to see how the Huskies, you know, traditionally when they go to Manitoba and play on that grass field, that kind of real sloppy surface with all the pigeon poop all over it, it's not a good game for the Huskies. But one thing that's happening this year, because the Huskies don't have to fly out to Vancouver to play UBC, they've used that airfare money to fly to Vancouver. So instead of a 10-hour bus ride, it's a nice one-hour flight to the team. So that should keep their legs fresh. But I'm really quite interested to see how UBC does against Alberta. It's their first home game of the season. And UBC is a bit of a dark horse to me as well. And I think a good showing against Alberta will definitely bode well for the team in the future. So I'm really interested to see how UBC is doing and how Billy Green does. You know, because he's one of the guys who I think is one of the better players in the conference. And I'd like to see him kind of step up a little bit more than he has in the past. So I'll actually have an eye on that game while I'm watching the Huskies game.
Evan, what's your thoughts, and I'll get you to weigh in, too, on who you think at this point of the season Canada West nominee for the Heck Riding is going to be?
Well, as far as storylines for this week, the UBC defense on the ground game is going to be big against KK Sonega, who's going to be giving the ball, I would say, at least 20, 22 times for the Golden Bears out in Vancouver. And as far as the Heck Riding goes, early on in this season, my vote is going to go to Stephen Lombala from the Calgary Dinos. I think he's been phenomenal for them. I think he's only going to get better as the season progresses. And the numbers he's put up so far have been tremendous. And certainly one of the early contenders. And it's tough to say here because it's been such
you know, an interesting start to the season, but he would be one of the guys that I would watch for as far as the potential Canada West MVP and go on and represent the conference for the Hat Creighton Award.
Jim, what are your thoughts on Canada West Player of the Year so far, just the early part of the season?
Yeah, it's very early, and I would put Stephen Lamballa at the top of that list, but at this point, I'd also have to consider Billy Green for what not only he's been able to do through the air, but where his feet have taken him as well. He's been able to scramble for additional yards. He's been able to create a spark for that offense, especially with David Boyd, the tailback, not contributing as much as people expected. And I'd say from an outside shot, depending on how much confidence he gets throughout the course of the year, Jelani Gilbert-Noren might get some consideration as well. But, you know, when we're only 2 weeks in, I think there's still a lot of work to be done and a story to be told on that front.
And, Ryan, I know there's not a lot of candidates left out there. What are your thoughts on who could win this thing?
You know, when I went into the season, I thought, you know, Mark Mueller from the Regina Rams would have a really good shot at being the Hat Creighton nominee, but, of course, he got injured in that first series. And you know, immediately, you know, Billy Green had a great first game, so his name kind of popped to the forefront. But, you know, I agree with what Jim said, Steve Lamballa and an outside chance for Jelani Gilbert-Noren. With Gilbert-Noren, he's, you know, he's only a second-year player, his first-year quarterback, only two games under center, so he's a little bit raw, and I know that when they voters go to look at Hat Creighton stuff, they factor in what people have done during the season, but you know, the career helps him a little bit too, and Billy Green's just had such a great career. I kind of think he'd be the top of my list right now.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, and enjoy the games this weekend.
Thank go you. Out and buy your Vanier Cup tickets.
And we'll make sure, Jim, we remind people all game long, get out of there and see the Vanier Cup in Vancouver.
Yeah, thank you.
And here is your first reminder. The Vanier Cup is in Vancouver this year, and the trophy is in the building. The Vanier Cup proudly presented right near midfield here at Thunderbird Stadium. Fans slowly making their way to the seats. Looks like it's going to be a big crowd for the home opener. Justin, it looks like the clouds are parting a little bit, although we did have rain in Vancouver earlier on, but it looks like it's a perfect day for football.
And it is Vancouver, so you never know when it's going to come back. But we did have a little bit of rain last night, but you know, now that UBC has a turf field, it doesn't matter so much when it rains because there aren't mud fields right at the 50-yard line anymore.
Makes a huge, huge difference, that turf field. The team coming to town to face the Thunderbirds today, the Golden Bears. Julian Marchand, we talked about. Let's talk a little bit about KK Sinunga, the running back for the Golden Bears.
Right. Well, so far this season, 163 yards on 39 attempts, so 3.8 yards per carry isn't quite what you want. But make no mistake, the Golden Bears expect big things out of this guy this year. He had some time last year where he really broke through in the second half. And Julian Marchand's a good quarterback, but it's the same for UBC. You can't have one person dictating all of the offense, and so they're going to need a little bit more out of him today.
And KK was struggling with injuries last year, but had a massive game here in Vancouver, scoring two touchdowns. New head coach for the Bears this year. Caught up with him a little bit earlier on. Let's have a listen to what Coach Stead of the Bears had to say.
Joined with University of Alberta Golden Bears head coach Jeff Stead. Coach, you come here to Vancouver with an 0-2 record. Talk a little bit about your football club through the first two games.
It's a tale of two tapes. Defense is playing great football in both games. Offensively, you know, we've had spurts of, you know, good things, but at the same time, we're very inconsistent. And that, to us, going into the season, we were kind of more worried about the defense than the offense with a fifth-year quarterback and, you know, veteran O-line, veteran receiving group. So for us, it's kind of like, you know, this week kind of took a step back, slowed things down. We had a great week of practice, and you know, I think for us, if we can protect the football, we're going to be successful.
Talk about Julian Marchand and getting him on track and throwing some touchdown passes.
Yeah, and that's Julian. Julian thrives on being confident. You know, obviously he struggled in the first two games a little bit, but you know, we sat down this week, we evaluated what he's done, and everything's correctable. It's not something that, you know, is not correctable, and that to us is positive. Now, for Julian to get confident, he's got to have success, and that just goes to the nature of the position. So he had a good week. You know, both of them took a lot of reps this week, and he's coming out to compete just like we expect him to.
Talk about playing here. This is a team that has struggled at home. Do you guys think about that at all, or what do you think about playing at the stadium?
Nothing. It's neat for us because, you know, obviously being in the prairies, this is your opportunity to come closer to the ocean. But we focused on ourselves and, let the distractions stay external from what we do. And, we talk about when we travel, it's a business trip. So, you know, it's not out here to go visit Vancouver. It's, you know, hey, we're going to play at Thunderbird Stadium. And, you know, it's another field with 110 yards. You know, there's no difference. Now, Thunderbird Stadium itself, you know, it's a nice old stadium. I don't really know what else to say about that. But, you know, it's fun to come out here. UBC is a great team this year. They have struggled at home in the past, but, you know, we don't look at last year. And this is a whole new team that Coach Olson's got on the field. So we're excited to play them.
Keys for your ball club to win this game?
Protect the ball, play sound defense, and make sure we're good on our cover teams.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
No problem.
And Coach Stead there talked about protecting the football. And, Justin, it's been something that they have struggled with this year so far.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you don't want to read too much into two games, right? We all know what small sample sizes can do when you put it out to the entire season. But obviously, the six interceptions like Julian Marchand has, you can't win many football games if you have three interceptions per game, and that's something that's going to have to change.
How about those zero touchdowns he's thrown, too?
Yeah, no, it's not working out thus far. And, I mean, mind you, they've had a tough early schedule, right? And they're probably looking at today's game against UBC. You got the suddenly very easy to beat Regina Rams next week, and they're looking to turn it around.
We caught up with Sean Olson a little bit earlier. Obviously, he's the head coach of the T-Birds. Let's have a listen to see what Coach had to say coming in to this one. Coach Sean Olson with me now, and Coach, getting ready for the first home game of the season. What is it like being back on your home field?
Well, you know, it's for us, it's I'm actually a little bit anxious. We haven't played real well at home over the last couple of years, and I'm anxious to see what our guys are going to come out with. You know, we've talked a lot about mental focus this week. We've talked a lot about what this means and how to put distractions to the side and really focus like we do on the road. And, you know, I think your guys are prepared. I think they're going to respond properly. We've had a good week of practice, but you never know until you get on game day. And, you know, Alberta's a bit scary to me. They're a desperate team, you know, 0-2 coming in right now. Had a pretty decent game last week, could have won it at the end. And those are the kind of teams, especially with a very veteran offense, where they could cause some problems for you. So I'm hoping our guys don't take them lightly. I'm hoping we come out and knock the doors off right off the get-go and play a good game. And if we do, I think we have a good chance to win, but that's a big if.
The Bears tailback KK Sinunga had a great game here last year. Your team's had trouble stopping the run. What have you seen this week in practice to make you think otherwise?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't mind the rushing yards, and people always talk about the rushing yards. I don't mind if he can rush for 200 as long as he doesn't rush for the important ones, you know, and we make some big stops and some big tackles. And that's obviously been a focus of what we're doing. But the key is always not the total yardage, but when we make plays. And if we can make some plays when they get into the red zone, I'll be fine with he can have as many yards as he wants.
Give me a couple keys to winning this ball game for you guys.
Well, I think our intensity level and our mental focus, how quickly we come into the gate, how quickly we can deal with the ups and downs of a football game, and how we can refocus after a bad play, I think is going to be a huge key. I think obviously stopping KK, he's a very, very good running back, and he runs hard, and he doesn't go down easy, and we're going to have to tackle well. Other than that, I think it's the same old stuff for us offensively. We need to be efficient. We need to get the ball to our playmakers, and when we do have an opportunity to make a big play, we have to get the ball down the field and make a big play. If we can do those things and set a tone with specials, you know, that's one of our focuses this week, is to have our special team set a tone, a physical tone, and an energy tone. I think if we can do those three things, we've got a decent chance at coming out with the win. And, you know, this is a big game for us. You know, going 2-1 as opposed to 1-2 is huge. And to sort of get that monkey off our back at home, I think is also very important.
Thanks, Coach.
No problem.
And that was Coach Sean Olson just before the game. Cheerleaders are on the field, still haven't seen the players. I'm Richard Zussman, joined alongside Justin McElroy. Thank you very much for joining us for UBC football on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. And Justin, the Bears are stepping onto the field here. We see our T-Birds heading down. And let's talk about the defenses a little bit. We haven't chatted too much about what we see for the T-Birds on defense. Talk a little bit about where the strengths are there.
Right. Well, so far this year, obviously, UBC has struggled against the run. We saw it against Calgary when they couldn't contain them in the final 2 minutes of the game, and Anthony Woodson ran right down the field for a touchdown. But obviously, that's a facet they're going to have to improve. Secondary, anchored by Sam Carino, though, has been fairly strong this year. And it's much the same way for Alberta as well. They're pretty good against the run, but I should say in the air. But against the run, they've struggled so far, and that's a facet that they're going to have to contain if Dave Boyd actually gets on track.
And let's now talk, Justin, about the keys to this bowl game. First one has to be playing here on home field for the Thunderbirds. They've lost their last 12 home games, but this seems to be a little bit different UBC team than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, no, it's a different UBC team. It's different uniforms. It's a different attitude. They have a quarterback now who actually knows what he's going to do on the field, has the confidence that's needed. They're playing an 0-2 team, and they're really going to be key today to get above 500 and win that first game since 2009 at home.
Another one has to be the UBC defense, and the way that they stopped the run so far this year.
Well, they haven't stopped the run.
Thunderbirds have given up 576 yards, nearly 300 yards a game. That's crazy. You can't do that and win in this league.
And look, they've got good players on their front seven. They've got Serge Kaminsky. They have Kavanaugh. They have tools there to stop the run. And it's a constant battle, but they're going to have to make sure that they stop KK Sanuga and actually force Julian Marchand to beat them with his arm.
And one of the things Marshall has had a hard time with, we chatted about it earlier, was interceptions. But the Bears are also very good at forcing turnovers. 11 forced turnovers for the Bears. They have given the ball away six times and only given up one fumble. So the spread there is plus four. UBC is equal on turnovers, but their numbers are much different. They've only turned the ball over once, but they've only forced one turnover.
And you know, with the amount Billy Green's throwing the ball, that's going to be a concern, because every time you throw it in the air, there's a chance that it can be intercepted. And while it hasn't happened yet, it could. So look for UBC to try and get Dave Boyd into the game early and often.
The clock is counting down. We are less than a minute away from the start here of the home season for UBC. Looks like there's still lots of things going on the field, so I'm sure the kickoff won't be that soon. But let's have a look at the starting lineup. Who do we have for UBC on offense?
Sure, we're on offense, wide receivers. We have number 84, David Scott, number 81, Jordan Greaves. And then in the slot, we have number 7, Spencer Betts, and number 83, Mika Thiel. Then the offensive line, we have number 68, Patrick Sullivan, number 56, Steve Zakreski. Center's number 65, Jordy Lyle, 67, Ethan Schnell, and number 64 at the right tackle, Kelly Crusu.
And now let's take a look at who will be matching up against them for the Bears on defense.
Certainly, and on defense, you got in the secondary, number 37, Chad Kaminsky, number 24, Jeremy Bell, number 3, Randon Ralph, number 47, Lane Dell, and number 2, Brent Frochuk. Front 7, you got number 18, Jason Hetherington, number 46, Larry Hillary, number 48, Darren Miner, number 52, Duncan Norris, number 55, Greg Severin, number 38, Ryan Dean, and number 20, Connor Ralph.
One of the tough things about playing at Thunderbird Stadium is that when you stand on the home sideline, you're always reminded about those Vanier Cup champions. For those who haven't been here before, there is a massive mural on the far side of the field from where we are that reminds the players there were Vanier Cup champions in 82, 86, and 97 here. Must be a little bit intimidating for the home team, you know, those high expectations.
Well, you know, they don't just have to look at the giant banner to be reminded of that. They just got to look at their head coach, Sean Olson, who quarterbacked the team in 1997. So they're constantly reminded of the tradition of this program. They're constantly reminded that it's been a number of years since they could call themselves the top of the CIS standings. And so it's a long process, as you know, with any team to get back to the top. But that's something that Cole Scholson in his second year has started to turn around, and we'll see if they can put a big exclamation mark on that rebuilding process by winning here today.
And that staff is filled with players from the 97 team. Mark Nora, the star of that team, had Creighton winners, been coaching, and a couple other guys. So that makes a big difference in terms of attitude of the football team. Right now the 86 team is out on the field, and let's have a listen in to the Canadian National Anthem.